This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
Seven meatballs, and I'm ready to take a nap.
Me too. Good night.
All right. That was our show for this week. Next. All right. So meatballs. Is Bill Murray going to be our guest this week?
Well, so why are we talking about meatballs today?
Meatballs are tasty. They're bite-sized, they're meaty, they are delicious when done right, and that doesn't always happen.
I have a philosophical question for you.
Okay.
So I happen to know that you don't really care for meatloaf.
I don't.
So why do you like meatballs?
What's the difference between meatballs and meatloaf? I think it has to do, well, partly the size.
Because they're cute.
Yeah, they're a little. Yeah, you were just talking to the meatballs. You said they were handsome little buddies or something. partly the size, and then partly, you know, meatloaf is always cooked in in a hot oven, whereas meatball can be braised in sauce, and it's it can come out so much juicier than any meatloaf.
That's true.
So we made a couple of kinds of meatballs, and we ate them, and we're going to tell you about them. Let's go through our meatball philosophy, starting with the meat. How about that? What do you think of that?
So, for the meatballs that I'm going to be discussing today, I used pork and beef. But the truth is, and we're talking here about like a spaghetti and meatball kind of meatball.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if I'm making spaghetti and meatballs, and if I can get some ground veal, my ideal is to do the holy trinity of beef, veal, and pork.
Your veal ideal.
Yeah, my veal ideal. I think you get lots of tenderness and flavor with that combination.
I totally agree. Yeah, and you get, veal has, it contributes like a gelatinous, that doesn't sound good. It contributes body that neither of the other meats do.
Tenderness.
Body doesn't sound good either. Tenderness. Okay, what you said.
What about you?
The meatball that I made today was made with 100% ground chicken.
Weird. Is that like a diet meatball?
Well, almost 100%. No, it's chicken thighs. I didn't trim the fat off first, and it's really just because the flavor works well for this kind of Mediterranean meatball.
You know, while we're talking about different meats, I also love a good lamb meatball.
Oh, so do I.
But I do a very different thing with it than I do with my usual pork and beef, or pork, beef, and veal meatball. There's a recipe in my book that is a riff on a recipe given to me by my friend Daron, and it's a meatball that you can use ground lamb or ground turkey in.
Okay.
And it's got kind of crazy flavors. You put a little bit of cumin in it, some golden raisins, cilantro, pine nuts. It gets pan-cooked, and then you eat it with a yogurt sauce.
Yeah.
So it's very Mediterranean slash, you know, sort of...
Eastern Mediterranean.
Eastern
Mediterranean.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Middle Eastern.
Yeah, because when I think lamb meatball, like, my mind starts to wander in the direction of kibbeh.
The Orient, your mind wanders. Go on.
Yeah, my mind takes a trip on the Orient Express, and I have to solve a murder. Ground lamb with bulgur wheat. It's basically a kind of meatball. It's great.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Delicious in pita.
And that, I think, you know, introduces the topic of, you know, you can't make a good meatball with just meat. It will be leaden. It will probably be dry. You need something else in there as a binder, a flavoring agent.
I can't help feel like we're almost doing a meatloaf show here.
No, we aren't.
Because this philosophy holds true. Whether you're doing a meatloaf or a meatball, you need some sort of a binder, but you also need... I don't know. I tend to think you need like an egg type thing as a binder. Yep. But you also need a binder in the form of like a starch. You need some breadcrumbs, yep. Maybe some ground up oats. You can use what, like pulverized saltines even, I've
heard. Sure. You know what my favorite egg type thing is?
What?
An egg. So I like breadcrumbs in a meat. Don't encourage me.
Go on.
I like breadcrumbs in a meatball. I like bread that has been soaked in milk and kind of mushed up.
Yeah, that's what that I works did really.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I like a lot of it. I feel like a really
You're
good
a
meatball.
Filler man.
Not in general, but when it. What would it mean to be a filler man in general?
I feel like if we were really classy here, we would cut to like Nina Simone's Sinner Man.
Oh, yeah. If we were really classy, we would say a filler man is a man who sees a hole and just has to fill it.
Talk about your filler.
Right, so a meatball with great texture. I feel like you want to put in enough starch, enough filler until you can just barely form it into a meatball.
Really? Why?
Yeah,
why?
I do, because... then it just has that perfect melt in your mouth texture.
Huh. Interesting. It is true that the meat is what gives it the density and could give it heaviness or stodginess. The filler is helping to break up the texture.
Yeah, and meat has plenty of flavor. It's still going to taste like meat even if it's like 40% filler.
Right. Well, so what else do you use? So you've got your sort of starchy filler. You've got your egg type thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Flavoring agent. I mean, garlic or onion, I think, is required.
Mm-hmm.
If you do onion, I feel really strongly that you
gotta cook it.
You either need to pre-cook it or I usually make meatballs in a food processor. And if you food process the onion together with the meat, it gets chopped into small enough pieces that it doesn't do that thing where the onion pieces cook and fall out and leave holes in the meatball, which is really gross. Anyone?
I know what you mean.
And then there's a hole and you have to fill it. I don't know why it's gross. I mean, the onion pieces, you can cook onion in certain ways that lead to a really unsavory result, and that's one of them.
Okay.
You know, and I say this as someone for whom onion is my favorite ingredient, period, but you can really screw it up, and that's one way I think you can screw it up, by putting big chunks of it, raw onion, into a meatball.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody likes to bite down on a chunk of raw onion. I mean, nobody that I know.
Yeah.
What about herbs?
In meatballs, I would have to say parsley is my favorite herb.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I think parsley is so underrated. Parsley tastes so great.
We're talking like flat leaf parsley here, Italian parsley, not curly parsley.
But if I only had access to curly parsley, I would certainly go ahead and use it. I think any parsley is good. I don't know how parsley got a reputation for being something flavorless.
Or something that you just put on a plate and stare at?
Yeah.
Yeah. So... let's move on to the next step.
All right.
How do you mix your meatball? Because you know, anytime you're working with a ground meat like this, you don't want to overwork it. It will get tough.
Right. I think, a couple things. First of all, the meatballs I made today, I did make in the food processor. I processed most of the ingredients together and then stirred in the egg and the breadcrumbs after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you've got the right components, the right structure to your meatball, you'd have to work pretty hard to overwork it. I think when people talk about overworking ground meat, like for a burger or something, you don't want fillers in a burger. And because there's no fillers, you have to be really careful not to overwork it or it gets tough and dry and weird.
Mm.
When you've got those fillers adding body and moisture, I think you'd have to really go ape on that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I mix mine by hand.
So you just get all in there by hand and just like goosh that stuff around?
I do. And I've actually started keeping a box of latex gloves in the kitchen for this purpose. So what I do is I use a technique that I call the claw. And I learned it from the owners of Cafe Lago here in Seattle.
Okay.
From Jordi Veladas is his name, the one who actually taught it to me. Carla Leonardi is also
sadly born with claws, but has made the most of it.
He has made the most of it, and boy, he makes a nice meatball. Jordi taught me that. So hold up your hand.
Okay. I'm holding it.
Now make a claw shape with it, like you're going to scratch my eyes out. Okay. So see how your fingers are tensed.
Yeah. I can't do it without making that noise. Like as soon as I had to stop curling my fingers into the claws because I knew I was going to make a noise and interrupt you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So you want to, you know, you don't want to totally, you know, clench your fingers. But anyway, make a claw shape with your fingers nice and tensed. Well, now you stick that claw shape in your bowl of meatloaf stuff and you move it all around. You stir with it and it is...
You were just singing the Hokey Pokey.
It's an incredibly effective tool. And I have since learned that I think this is also sort of an Asian grandmother technique.
Oh, for like dumpling
for
fillings?
For dumpling filling, yeah.
Oh.
So I think it's also, when you're working with your hands, there's almost no way to overdo it.
Yeah.
And you also can really quickly feel the way the ingredients are coming together.
Let me tell you, when I'm working with my hands, I never overdo it.
I am exhausted by you today.
I'm a filler man. What can I say?
Let's talk about how we cook these meatballs.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, because the way you cook a meatball has such a powerful effect on the end result. How do you like to cook a meatball?
So,
what are the methods, maybe?
Well, so, you know, you can pan fry it from start to finish.
Yep.
Okay. You can get some color on it in a pan and then add some liquid, so sort of the braising technique.
Yep.
Or you can simmer it in your sauce, so it never really gets any browning.
I'm going to add a couple more. You can bake it.
Oh, that's true. I've done the Alton Brown baking in a mini muffin tin. Have you ever done that?
Interesting. No, I have not.
Alton Brown has you take meatballs, which in Alton Brown style, he has had you portion them using a scale so that each one of your meatballs is exactly the same size.
That sounds like the sort of thing I thought about doing that today when I was forming my meatballs.
I was wondering if you
might
have done that. Anyway, you shape them into a round and then you stick each one in the well of a mini muffin tin. And I think his reasoning is that when you put that in the oven, there is more sort of hot
surface,
metal
yeah,
surrounding your meat and you're going to get maybe better browning, quicker cooking.
I like that.
I tried it. I didn't love it.
There's only one recipe I can think of where I've made oven-baked meatballs, and it came out really well. You have to be really careful. They dry out really easily. All the fat and juices run out onto the pan, which is a point in favor of the mini muffin pan. The one I do like is a Rick Bayless recipe. I believe it is in his book, Mexican Every Day, for Chipotle meatballs. And it's really simple. You use panko as the breadcrumbs. You use canned chipotles in adobo. Then you form it into meatballs. You bake it on a sheet. You serve it with a chipotle tomato sauce. It's great.
That sounds terrific. Well, so that lamb meatball recipe I mentioned earlier,
right,
that I do in a skillet from start to finish. And it does have a bit of a meatloafy texture. It can be a little bit dry. You have to be careful.
Are they pretty small? Because I feel like with the pan sauteing, like if you tried to do like a big 2-inch meatball,
yeah,
it would take all night.
These are like not larger than an inch and a half. So I think they're sort of just about right for me. Oh, I can see you're going to say something.
Well, what size of meatball do you like?
I kind of like it on the small side, like an inch and a half.
I do too. The ones I made, which
God, I can't believe you just let that one pass.
You jinxed me because you said I was being tiresome. I'm gonna
serve you a beautiful one.
I'm gonna play it straight for the rest of the show, just to punish you and the listeners. Maybe that's not a punishment. I like a smaller meatball too. I like a meatball that I can just stick a whole meatball in my mouth. On the other hand, the meatballs I made were a little bigger than that because they're made to be eaten on their own, like with a fork.
I don't even know how to do this show if I'm not supposed to be listening for every raunchy joke you tell. God.
I didn't.
Anyway, hey, so let's, you know, now that we're talking about cooking methods, I think we've really covered it here. Let's talk about what we did today.
Thank God.
God.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
All right. I made this recipe that originated with Lynn Rosetto Casper. I think she originally called it something like sweet and sour meatballs. It is a meatball made with chicken, spinach, and pepperoni blended together. It sounds kind of ridiculous. It's great. So you blend those things together. You add breadcrumbs. You add Parmigiano Reggiano. You add lemon zest. And I've like messed with every single aspect of her recipe except for the chicken pepperoni spinach triumvirate. And then you make a sweet and sour sauce with white wine, vinegar, sugar, chicken broth, and you sear the meatballs in the pan. You braise them in that sauce, and it's great. Totally different from a classic spaghetti and meatballs recipe. You can certainly serve it with spaghetti.
What I love about it is that it is so not the traditional Italian meatball that we think of here in the States. And I really love that the ingredients are really interesting, but really harmonious in a way that you kind of can't tell what the heck's going on in there, but you want to keep eating more of it.
Right. No, it's kind of crazy. I mean, lemon zest, cinnamon.
So do you eat it with pasta? What do you do with these meatballs?
I sometimes eat them with pasta. They make a really good meatball sandwich, and they are really fine just eaten on their own off a plate. You know, it's got meat, it's got vegetables, it's got bread. It is dinner.
I think what I would say about both of our meatballs today is that they're really flavorful, but delicate.
Yeah, I like that. I like a meatball that, you know, you can kind of poke at it with your finger and it'll fall apart for you.
Yeah. Well, so my meatball is very tender. My meatball gets cooked start to finish in sauce. So it is the ultimate in tenderness. Stop it.
but that Missy Elliott song, My Meatball's Very Tender, is such a great song.
You know, my meatball brings all the boys to the yard.
Right. Okay.
Anyway.
I couldn't think of Kellis, so I said Missy Elliott, okay?
So anyway, so my meatballs, I mentioned Cafe Lago earlier. It's a restaurant here in Seattle. It's been around for like 20 years. I was taught how to make this meatball by one of the owners. His name is Jordy Velatas.
Mr. Claw, they call him.
Mr. Claw.
He doesn't really have claws. Jordy, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
And this is a family recipe for him. The recipe is originally Calabrian, I believe, and it uses either beef and pork or beef, pork, and veal, plus Parmesan cheese, ideally grated on the rasp side of your box grater.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like very powdery. Yeah. Minced parsley, egg, fresh breadcrumbs that you soak in milk for about 10 minutes and then sort of squeeze out.
Sure.
Salt, pepper, garlic. Anyway, and then I use a different sauce from the Lago one. I use my very favorite tomato sauce, which is Marcella Hazan's tomato sauce with butter and onion.
Such a great sauce.
Such a good sauce. And you simmer the meatballs in there for 15 to 20 minutes or so until they're done. And toss that with spaghetti. It is really, not to get sappy here, but there is nothing that makes me feel sort of taken care of like spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah, that is such a great recipe. It's become my go-to spaghetti and meatball recipe because I played with a bunch of different ones and never found one where I felt like the meatballs harmonized with the spaghetti. And in this one, they do because, you know, they're simmered in that sauce. The butteriness of the sauce helps bring everything together. They're ultra tender. You got to try this.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, I feel like a meatball right now. I feel quite tender and like I'm going to fall apart.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All right. find our meatball recipes. We're going to post the Cafe Lago meatballs and the chicken and spinach meatballs at spilledmilkpodcast.com. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. If you like the show, tell your friends.
If you have a friend who loves meatballs, be sure to tell them.
Mm-hmm. If you know Bill Murray, be sure and tell him to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Really big into meatballs.
Thanks for listening to Spilled Milk.
The show that's heading to summer camp. That's as far as I got with that one.
The show that's coming after you with a claw.
I like that one. I'm Matthew Afterburton.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg.
If you got a hole, we'll fill it.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew. Can we do a different joke?
Okay, all right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.